All right. So today I'm going to be talking about the impact of organic reduced tillage on management on soil health, as well as briefly the economic potential of such a system in an area where there's really very little organic dryland agriculture currently being practiced. Which brings us to the Palouse, which is an area in eastern Washington and northern Idaho, where we conducted this study. And this is an area well known for high dryland wheat yields. But we also have this hilly landscape, as well as poorly aggregated lush soils, which has made soil erosion a continuous threat. Coupled with a relatively dry climate, particularly low rainfall during the growing season, limits the methods that are commonly used in wetter climates that are where organic reduced tillage practice is implemented, such as the use of summer cover cropping and vegetative mulches. So in place, the way we achieve reduced tillage in organic systems in our study is through using surficial tillage implements, such as the rotary hoe, rotary harrow, and undercutter pictured here. And we looked at soil health by analyzing different soil biological, chemical, and physical properties, again with the idea of how this soil system can maintain crop yields. And today I'll be taking that further and actually looking at the economic returns. And several others have shown that reducing tillage and using organic management practice can lead to improved aspects of soil health. So we're looking at how this system in our region may impact soil health in comparison to the typical conventional no-till practices. And again, looking at the economic viability of these systems. And this research was done in a plot study located in Pullman, Washington. And the organic reduced till plots were put in 2003 to look at the transition to organic. And then in 2008, the plots were reallocated to two new cropping systems that were in place throughout the duration of our study and compared to these adjacent conventional no-till plots. And winter wheat's really the economic driver behind most of the cropping systems in our region. You'll see it's represented in all three of the rotations that we looked at. We looked at two organic and one conventional. And the three-year rotations of winter wheat, spring wheat, and winter pea hay were used for statistical comparison between the organic and conventional. We also looked at this organic alfalfa rotation just to look at the different effect of crops within organic management. But because the two rotations that were used in the organic and conventional comparison included the same crops, differences that arise are really due to fertilizer application, be that manure or the synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, as well as the impact of the different machine operations on the soil. And we quantified that using the soil tillage intensity rating system, or STIR value, which was developed by the NRCS. And a high STIR value correlates to greater disturbance, and a value of 30 or lower is considered no-till. So you can see these systems are all relatively low disturbance, with the organic system slightly higher than the conventional. And we began our sampling with earthworms in 2010. And in the organic alfalfa rotation, we sampled for earthworm density and biomass in four consecutive years. And in the three-year rotations, we sampled in 2010 and 2013 only, when these rotations were in winter wheat. All other soil properties that we measured, we did so in 2013, while these rotations were in the sixth year. And in addition to earthworms, we looked at microbial biomass, soil organic carbon, total nitrogen, pH, bulk density, aggregate stability, and hydraulic conductivity. And what we found, by and large, was that the soil biological and chemical properties responded more rapidly to the differences in management. And beginning with earthworms, we saw that Aporectidea trapezoides was the most common earthworm out at our field site. And looking at this graph here of earthworm density in individuals per meter square, we saw higher density in the organic wheat peewheat system shown in yellow compared to the conventional. And this is the average across both the years. And this is interesting because that organic system receives greater disturbance than the conventional system. And greater disturbance often correlates to a lower earthworm density. And we're hypothesizing that there's greater food sources within the organic soils that could support a larger population. I'll just note quickly, we didn't observe any differences in earthworm biomass among our treatments, which is likely an effect of us needing to sample early in the spring, and there being a high percentage of juveniles within our count data that didn't contribute as much to biomass. We also looked again at earthworms annually in the organic alfalfa system and saw this relatively steady population in the alfalfa, which is actually, I should mention, an alfalfa orchard glass blend. But so we saw this flush when the perennial phase was taken out, interestingly, after sort of notable disturbance that occurs in removing that perennial crop. And others have seen this similar trend and suggested that it was that the earthworm population flourished after the perennial phase because of the mixing in of all that additional organic matter, again, being able to sort of compensate for the greater disturbance. And we saw a non-significant trend of microbial biomass in the organic wheat peewheat system, shown again in yellow compared to that in the conventional. And in terms of soil organic carbon, as well as nitrogen, we saw the majority of the nutrients really to exist within the top 30 centimeters of the soil, and the only real significant difference in the top 10 centimeters with higher soil organic carbon in the organic compared to the conventional wheat peewheat system. And I'll, I guess, note quickly that we saw a very similar trend in terms of total nitrogen, but that I won't be showing here. We also saw greater or higher soil pH in the organic wheat peewheat system, shown in yellow, than that in the conventional system, particularly significant in the top 30 centimeters. There's likely several reasons contributing or processes contributing to this, but likely the higher pH in the manure treatment was a driving factor in the organic system. We looked at correlations between all the different soil properties and found positive, significant correlations between earthworms and both soil nutrients and microbial populations. And this is, again, suggestive of the common role of ecosystem engineers that earthworms are given because of their known influence on other properties within the soil system. And interestingly, we found no differences in soil physical properties between the organic and the conventional systems. Again, interesting because of the difference in tillage disturbance of these systems. And we are hypothesizing that the higher levels of soil organic carbon and greater earthworm density may be counteracting some of the effects of the tillage compared to the lower disturbance, lower soil organic carbon, and lower earthworm activity in the conventional system. And so we're seeing some of these benefits to soil health, but ultimately, are these cropping systems economically viable to our region? And we did this through cost and return analysis of all factors of production. And in the next slide, I'll be showing you the annual equivalent net present value, which we calculated to compare the cropping systems. And this is a method for comparing a multi-year investment of different lengths of time. Ultimately, a positive ANPV equals a positive investment. So looking at the ANPV of returns over total costs shows the long-term financial sustainability of an investment because it includes some of those longer-term investment costs. And this graph shows returns to total cost in dollars per acre. And a $0 in returns in our budget is actually the break-even point for an investment because we included returns to management and labor within our calculations. And we, again, compared these two organic reduced till rotations to not to the conventional plots, but to more typical regional conventional practices, which in this case we use a winter wheat, spring wheat, spring pea crop rotation. And I'm showing the returns on that yellow bar for the conventional system at about $31 per acre. And then as I mentioned in the beginning, there's very little organic dry land production in our area. So in order to assess some of the risks of trying to sell a crop to a developing market, we looked at three different scenarios. One where you could sell 100% of your crop for an organic premium, that where you could only sell half for a premium, and then the case where you wouldn't be able to sell any of your crop for an organic premium. And you can see by these blue bars here that when you can receive that organic premium for the full crop, these systems show some economic potential, competitive and exceeding the conventional production. Where you can only sell half of your crop, the organic alfalfa system shows negative returns, and though the organic wheat pea wheat system here shows it's right about that break-even point. And then again, when you don't have any organic premiums, these systems show negative returns. So this really highlights that these systems do have some economic potential, but they really need the organic premium to be economically viable. So in summary, this organic alfalfa wheat rotation and the organic winter wheat, winter pea, spring wheat rotation show both profitability and some aspects of improved soil health. And again, given that our analysis was based on these plot studies and some of the assumptions of our economic budget, it's really suggesting economic viability at a small scale in order to reduce risks at this point. And then lastly, given that our region is prone to soil erosion, a more closer look at the impact and risk to erosion would really be necessary before considering adopting something like this at a larger scale. So I'd just like to thank the many contributors to this project, both from the University of Idaho and Washington State University, as well as the USDA OREI program for funding this work. So, thank you. And are there any questions? That was the soil tillage intensity rating, and it's a method that the NRCS uses to quantify the impact of different machine operations on a field. It gives each implement sort of a value, and then you sum that value. It's a way to compare practices across different systems. You calculate it by each sort of implement is given a value that represents the disturbance to the tillage, and then you add it how many times you pass that implement over the field per year, and all of that gets summed to give a value.
And you mentioned something,
that is the NRCS standard for no-till. So if a STIR value is 30 or less, it's considered no-till by the NRCS standards. And sort of a typical conventional moldboard plow system would have a STIR value of, say, around 100. And so our organic systems, I think, were around 35 to 44. So they're above technical no-till, but they're still pretty low as far as tillage goes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or organic growers just have problems with
I'm not sure if I understood your question. So that's just looking at whether you can get the organic premium price, so that higher price over a conventional. So you can sell, say, or we were in 2014 and 13, you could sell conventional wheat for around $6.50, but you could sell your organic wheat for $13. So that was looking at whether if you couldn't. And it's common that you can't necessarily find a market for your entire crop yield. So we were looking at when you can't sell for that high price, what does that do to your overall return? And so does that answer your question? Okay. Yep.
And then, since you're looking at soil properties, like, how do you account for that? Because they're not randomized within the block.
They couldn't be randomized within the block because, well, partly for certification reasons, because you need that buffer, but for the plots to be considered organic, and for the practical reasons of herbicide drift. So within each section, the organic and reduced or conventional, they were randomized, complete block designs. But in order to keep them as true organic and conventional systems, they had to be separated. It is a very uniform slope with a uniform pollute silt loam soil. So in that sense, we accounted for comparable properties across the treatments.
Any more questions? You have some time for.
I just wanted to know how you, it's more of a, I wanted to know how you, like, price at, like, 150% to zero. Like, where did you get those numbers from? Just being curious.
Well.
How much more is it organic? Gets, how much more it's worth, I guess, than zero?
So, I'm sorry if that was confusing. What that was looking at was if you could sell your full crop for that organic premium.
Right, what's that organic premium?
So that's dictated by the market, by and large. And we were using average prices for the 2013 to 2014 crop yield for our region. And that was based on economic research services data, as well as some information from regional, the only regional grower or mill that takes organic grains.
So did he have an average of being able to sell all of his organic?
Yeah, there tends to be higher demand than there is supply for organic crops. The challenge in our region is that there isn't the sort of infrastructure for large-scale organic grains because it's set up for conventional grain, and the two have to be separated to be able to sell it as organic. So.
The reason for wanting to do organic and reduce still farming is presumably to address issues of soil quality and conservation and kind of fencing.
Mm-hmm.
You hinted that, as I told Lenny, in you said that in the future work will also reduce possible reduction of soil erosion. But there's a value to that, of course, which perhaps doesn't accrue to the farmer directly, but it's beneficial to society, or society wants those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So in a complete analysis, it would be important, I think, to include those kinds of things also. So do you have plans to come up with economic values or dollar values for those, maybe ecosystem services or soil quality aspects?
We didn't try to quantify it in a dollar sense, those ecosystem services, but I think that we're showing these benefits that I think are commonly just are recognized among growers in the region who are concerned with their soil health. I think that they would respond to that, and I think that our society is starting to grow and appreciate those things. And we didn't go into trying to quantify that in dollars because that gets a little tricky, and was sort of beyond the scope of our project here, but it is, that's a very good point and would add some value to the analysis. So.
Okay. Thank you for the speaker. Mm-hmm.